Well, good morning. It's good to be here today. Once again, I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear me if I keep that microphone too far away. Is that a little bit better? Okay. I've been told I'm kind of soft-spoken, so I'll try to speak up. If you can't hear me, just go like this, okay? I promise I'll try to speak louder. All right. Well, once again, it's a pleasure to be here with you at Grace Community Chapel, and it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to share God's word as well. You know, it's kind of funny that it seems like every time I have an interaction with Linda Reinhardt, I end up here for some reason. It just seems to fall that way. I talk to Linda, Peter gives me a call, there I am. So I guess God just has that particular connection I need to get used to. But anyway, this morning, I would like to speak on a topic that I feel is something that each one of us can identify with, something that touches our lives, and something that we may be going through right now, and that is perseverance, because we're always going to be challenged with something. I mean, have you noticed that in life there's always something that we're challenged with, that we have to deal with? You know, unfortunately, there are some that are told that it's not necessary to be prepared in the Christian life, because once they come into the faith, they're given this idea that everything's going to go away. Everything's going to be happy. Your life is now going to be so much better because now you're a Christian. Well, it doesn't work that way. And as we know for sure, because Paul wouldn't have told us to put on the full armor of God if things were going to be a complete blessing all the time. There are going to be challenges in life. You know, if that wasn't the case, he would have told us to get our flip-flops and our lemonade and don't worry about things. But no, it's not how it's going to be. There are always going to be challenges. There are always going to be situations that may seem a little bit difficult for us to deal with. So that's why I want to speak on the topic of persevering. Because we need to realize that we have to keep going. We just have to keep going. We have to keep plugging through. You know, our lives are going to be filled with challenges. And the more that you desire to be closer to the Lord, the more opposition you will face. I'm not sure if you noticed that. But as you try to get closer and closer to God, the more resistance you're going to find from internally, from your own flesh that doesn't want to be close to God, and then externally as well, as the kingdom of darkness brings things into your life as barriers that cause it to be harder for you to keep going and live in a world that is contrary to God. So we need to be prepared for these things as well. We need to keep going. And that's really the message I want to bring to you this morning. It's just keep going. Keep persevering. Keep trusting in God. I want to share a quick illustration with you, which comes from Bits and Pieces. It's an interesting story about Florence Chadwick, and it goes this way. Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. On the 4th of July in 1951, she attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. The challenge was not so much the distance, but the bone-chilling waters of the Pacific. To complicate matters, a dense fog lay over the entire area, making it impossible for her to see the land. After about 15 hours in the water and within a half a mile of her goal, Chadwick gave up. Later, she told a reporter, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I might have made it." Not long afterward, she attempted the feat again. Once more, a misty veil obscured the coastline, and she couldn't see the shore. But this time, she made it, because she kept reminding herself that land was there. With that confidence, she bravely swam on and achieved her goal. In fact, she ended up breaking the men's record by 2 hours. Isn't that amazing, guys? But what was the thing that stood out with her? The first time through, she couldn't see land, and she began to lose hope that she would ever finish, so she gave up. But when she realized that, you know what, no matter what I can't see, I know there's land there. I know they're leading me in the right direction. If I just keep swimming, it wasn't her strength that gave up. It was her will that gave up. She had strength available, but she gave up in her will. But once she realized in her mind, she convinced herself, there is land there. I'm going to keep swimming. She made it. And the same thing with us. We need to remember that even though we're in troubles and struggles and trials, there is land there. There is a promised land for us. And that land is told to us through God's word. And he tells us to go by what his word has to say rather than what we may see. Because what we may see is not really reality all the time. That's why we're told to walk by faith, not by sight. Don't go by what things seem to be, but realize that God has something for you. Even though we don't see the answer right away, there is a solution. We just need to maintain and we need to persevere. So, if no one's left yet, I will continue. Now, the question is, have you ever wanted to give up on something? I've given up on plenty of things in my life. You know, and sometimes I look back and I go, man, if I just kept going, if I just maintained, if I just stood in a little bit longer, then I would have seen the fruit of everything I put into it. You know, we always have something that can come into our life that causes us to have that sense of hopelessness. Or we feel like we don't have enough strength. The point is, that's why we need to rely on God's strength and not our own strength, not our own ability, and not what we perceive as being there. You know, the word perseverance itself just speaks of persistence. Just keep going, just keep going. It's used once in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. So we're told to persevere in prayer, to continue to go, to continue to go. You know something? A lot of times what happens in prayer is that we give up too soon. We stop praying too soon. And God tells us, no, just keep persevering. Why? Because I will give you an answer. You know, sometimes the problem is that we don't like the answer that we hear. When he says, no, or not yet. We go, oh, come on now. That's not what I wanted to hear. Maybe you're not hearing me, Lord. See, this is what I really need. And the Lord says, nah, not now, or not yet, or better than that, I have something better for you. So that's why we want to look at this topic, because we run into that all the time, don't we? Webster's defines perseverance as a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failures, or opposition. Okay? And we've seen some of them, haven't we? So this morning, my prayer is that God's word would either help you in a struggle that you're currently in or prepare you for the struggles that will come, because they will come, okay? So in this psalm, there's three things I really want to pull out. And the first is that we need to worship the Lord despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We need to worship Him no matter what circumstances come up. The second thing we're going to look at is that we need to pray no matter what the trouble is. And finally, we'll look at the fact that we need to expect deliverance because of who He is, not who we are. Okay? So if you go to Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, we'll read that together, where it says, I will give thee thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to thee before the gods. I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. Now, you may have noticed my translation is a little bit different than what you may have in your hand. I'm reading from a New American Standard. And it sort of lines up a little bit more with the King James. Not that that's an issue one way or the other. But either way, the word of God still says the same thing. Okay? He says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. You know, one thing I love about David, who was the writer of this psalm, was his passion for the Lord. David had a true passion for God. You know, if anyone knows what it's like to be in a difficult circumstance, it was David. You know, David was being hunted at one point in his life by an army. Now, I've had some problems in my life, but I've never had an army chasing me to kill me. You know, guys with spears looking for me and arrows. I mean, when he talks about having problems and struggles, he's talking about some serious problems. Somebody's going to run him through with a sword. We're talking about waiting too long in the bank to get our money. You know, that's my struggle for today. You know, I mean, we need to get some perspective, I guess, you know. But David really had a passion for God. That was one reason why when God says that, you know, David was a man after his own heart. Despite even his failures, one thing he never lost was his passion for God. So whether an army was seeking to kill him or he was just being under the discipline of God because of his own sin, he never lost sight of who God was and what to expect from God. So he says, at the beginning of this verse, he says, I will give thanks with all of my heart. Okay? With all of my heart. Not just coming in halfway going, thanks, God. He had a passion for God, whereas, I'm going to give you thanks, Lord, with all of my heart, with all of my being. I'm not holding anything back because of who you are. You know, this speaks of his mind, his being, all be completely focused on the Lord. This wasn't a time for distractions. He didn't want to have anything else around him. He wanted to focus on God. You know, when we come before the Lord, we need to give him our all of ourselves, without distraction, realizing that he's worthy of our attention. You know, when we speak of worship, many times we think of one aspect of worship. We may think of singing songs as a part of worship. But also honoring God's word is a part of worship. Focusing on him in prayer is worship as well. And focus is a very critical thing, and we need to give God our all. And if we're going to do something, do it with a desire that shows that, you know what, I really believe that you are God. I really believe that you are the one that created all that I see, and I'm going to do my best to serve you. So he goes on in this verse and he says, I will sing praises to you before the gods. You know, there are differing views on what this reference to the gods was all about. Some believe that it was the other rulers. Some think that it was the angels or principalities that were viewing what he was doing. But one writer put it this way. He says, before or in the presence of the gods of the heathen, which is in scorn of, in sight of the idols who can do nothing, I will praise Jehovah who does miracles for me and his people. What David may have been looking at was, you know what, despite everything else that's going around me, despite all these other nations that have all these other false gods, and people were worshiping these gods, and they have all different types of worship that they had, so despite what all these other nations are doing, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to sing praises to your name, because you are the one that not only is high above everything, but you also are the one that can do what you say you will do. And then you do it, okay? The general idea is that no matter who is around, I will sing praises to my God. You know, don't allow your circumstances to stop you from giving the Lord his due. You may run into a time when there's a difficulty. Don't allow that to stop you from giving God his time. There's plenty of opportunities where things can pull you away, and you may think, well, I'll work this out my own way. No. Always keep going back to God. Okay? There are going to be times when worshiping God, praising God, even attending service may be a sacrifice because either a physical ailment you're going through, mental challenges that you're facing, whatever it may be, it may be a sacrifice. But you know what? I would say that's our reasonable service as well. When we consider all that God has done for us, he has given us an eternity that's guaranteed. He has given us salvation by the blood of his own son. He has gone to the utmost for us. These are the things that we can do to bring him glory and bring him honor. You know, this doesn't mean that you have to also fake it. You know what I mean by that? You know, there's sometimes people say, well, you ask me, how you doing, brother? And they go, I'm doing great. Everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful. And soon you go away, they go, oh, everything's falling apart. My whole life is... No, I'm not saying, if you're going through a trial, this is a place where you really need to share with each other. You know, that's where each one of us is here to lift each other up. You know, and so I'm not saying that we need to put on this false air of spirituality that I've got everything under control. But we do need to realize that God deserves his due. He needs our attention. So, going on to verse 2, he says, I will bow down toward thy holy temple, and I will give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word according to your name. Now, where he says, I will bow down, some translations have it, I will worship, and that's where we get the difference between the two. But basically, where it says here, I will worship, actually is translated, meaning, I will bow down. I will prostrate myself before the Lord. It means to crouch. So David is saying that he will completely humble himself before the Lord and before his dwelling. You know, bowing is a demonstration of a total submission. Of a total submission. You know, when you bow down, you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position as well. You know, bowing is also a display of dependence. It's a display of honor, of respect. So when David says, I will bow down, he's saying that I'm making a physical attempt to show you, Lord, how much I honor and respect and love you. Because you're worthy, and I am not on the same level as you. You know, I remember talking to someone about their relationship with God, and pretty much their response was, oh, yeah, God, yeah, yeah, me and the big guy, yeah, we got an understanding. Really, do you now? The big guy? You and him have an understanding? Let me tell you something. Yeah, he understands you all right. I don't think you understand him at all. And that's really where, unfortunately, a lot of people are coming from. They work by their understanding rather than finding out exactly who God is and what he has to say about our lives. So in order to persevere, you must first realize that it's not all about us. It's not about our ability. The best that we can produce falls far short of what the Lord can and will do. It's not within us. You know, do you realize that within us there's no good thing? God looks at us and says, you know something? Yeah, I know what you're made of. I made you. I know your frailties. I know your weaknesses. I know your good points. But you know something? You don't have what it takes by yourself. But you know what? I've given you my son. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my word. And through that strength, you have what it takes now. Because I've empowered you to be powerful. What does it say? You are more than conquerors through him. More than conquerors. You know, David was a perfect example of this. There's so many illustrations within the Old Testament where nations would come up and they would try to attack God's people. And God would intervene. And the people of God really didn't do anything. They would just stand there. And God would just go before them. He says, and pretty much God would say, you know something, I've got this, guys. You just sit over here, and you just watch me move. And that's many times what we need to do in our lives as well. We need to stop sometimes and realize, I'm just going to trust you, Lord. And I'm going to watch you move. Yes, there's steps that we need to take. But those steps are steps of faith and trusting that he will be the one that delivers us. So just as David bowed, we should also bow and humble ourselves before Jesus, our King. We need to realize that he is worthy of our attention. He is worthy of our praise. So in verse 2 it says, and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. For you have magnified your word according, or in some translation actually says, above your very name. One commentary is called the Treasury of David, which I absolutely love. Put it this way. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the divine word will not pass away. And in this respect, especially, it has preeminence over every other form of manifestation. Moreover, the Lord lays all the rest of his name under tribute to his word. His wisdom, his power, his love, and all his other attributes combine to carry out his word. It is his word which creates, which sustains, which quickens, enlightens, and comforts. As a word of command, it is supreme, and in the person of the incarnate word, it is set above all the works of God's hands. God elevates his word above his very name. How much more should we elevate his word? How much more should his word take priority within our life, within our day? If God looks at his word and says, this is what you need to go by, this is what I'm going to deliver you by, that's why we need to put it in that prime spot. So we need to worship despite our circumstances. The second thing is we need to pray no matter what the trouble. As it says in verse 3, it says, on the day I called, you did answer me, and you did make me bold with strength in my soul. You know, one of the greatest things that a Christian has going for them are their own personal experiences. Now, I'm not getting, you know, kind of crazy with the experience thing now, but what I'm talking about is we've all have times when we've prayed, correct? I'm hoping. If you've never prayed, please start now. We won't hold it against you, okay? Now, one of the greatest things that can happen is when God has answered a prayer, because you know it was God that did it. And that's something that no one can ever take away from you. You know within your heart, when God has done something and he's moving, you go, wow, that's not a circumstance. That's God moving. That is something that is a testimony to you that no one can steal away from you. Here, David says, on the day I called, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. Have you ever cried out to the Lord in the same day and have God come through? How about in the same hour? I've had that happen every once in a while. When you pray for something, you turn around, oh, God gives you the opportunity to take care of something. So, wow, that was quick, Lord. It's great. But we need to go to him in order for that to happen, don't we? It's a powerful thing. You know, many times our burdens are not removed when we pray. And that may be one of the hardest things for us to deal with, is that we go to God and we pray and we ask and we plead and we get on our knees, Lord, please deliver me from this. And it's still there. And we think that God is just ignoring us or not answering our prayer. But you know something? Many times those prayers that we lift up, those burdens that we have in our life, the Lord looks at it and says, you know what? You know, I know that you're living in time and you don't see what I see. But God doesn't live in time. He's in eternity. He looks down, he sees your life, and he goes, you're over here right now, and you're going through this. But what you don't know is over here, I've got your solution. You just need to persevere. You just need to hang in there until you get to that point, because I've got the answer already there. I've answered your prayer. I have. It's right here. You just have to wait. You have to be patient to get to that point. Because many times, if God was to do everything that we asked for him to do, where would our faith be if we had everything that we needed, right? So therefore, if we're not living by faith, how are people being glorified? How is God being lifted up to other people if we're not living by faith? So within this prayer, David was strengthened within his soul, because many times what we'll see is that God may not remove the burden, but he'll give you the ability to deal with the problem. He'll give you the wisdom to deal with the issue, but not necessarily take it away. He'll give you the strength to sustain under the problem itself so that you can keep going and see his deliverance. You know, some things that we need to remember when we pray, we need to remember that the love of God that wants the best for us. Remember that God wants the best for you. We also need to remember the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and also the power of God that can accomplish it. Things that don't seem to be happening fast enough for us, that may not be happening. You may look at it and say, well, why isn't this happening? Well, I can tell you one thing. It's not because God is not powerful enough. Is there anything that God can't do? No. Then you say, well, why isn't it happening? Maybe it's not time. Maybe it's not time. Maybe that's not what he's trying to do. Maybe he's trying to work something in you. Maybe he's trying to work more patience in you or refine your soul in a different way. But regardless, we just need to trust him and go forward. Sidlow Baxter put it this way. He says, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. God answers prayers, and he will move. So if we look at verses 4 and 5 where it says, all the kings of the earth will give thanks to thee, O Lord, when they have heard thy words of thy mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. So what it talks about here, all the kings of the earth, David says that all the neighboring nations, seeing what you've done for us, will look in vain, and they'll look around and go, no, how is all this happening? How did they make this happen? And they'll have to stop and realize that this could only happen because God moved. Their God moved on their behalf. And what's the result of that? They will realize that our God is true. You know, one of the positive results of the believer persevering is the impact that it has on those around us. When you maintain, when you continue in the faith, and when you continue to just trust God no matter what, people around you will look at your life and they'll go, man, they really believe that stuff. They're really serious about this thing, no matter what's going on. And as you become more and more stable, people say, I don't get it. How can somebody go through that and stay sane? That's the benefit of you persevering. When we persevere, it becomes a testimony to those who view our lives. This past Saturday, I officiated at a funeral for a child that lived 25 hours. And within those 25 hours of life, that child blessed so many people. And the family went through a long period of time of struggling, and people knew, but they maintained their faith in God. And they were strong. And they were hurt, and they were shaken, but they remained firm with God through the whole time frame. And there was plenty of people that were touched by that. Hospital workers at the funeral. There were friends that came to the funeral that were just completely blessed by what had happened. You know, it's difficult when someone goes through a trial of that type. But we never forget that others around us need to display our belief. Because, you know what, it's the way that we live that has the greatest impact. It's not just the words that we say. It's how we live. When you continue to trust in God, no matter what the circumstances are, that is going to speak volumes to those who are watching your lives. You know, my middle name, I'm not sure if you've ever known this, but some of you may know. I know Linda does. But my middle name is Francis. Growing up, I caught a lot of slack about that, but I really didn't care because that was a family name. There was actually, I believe, 6 or 7 of us that actually had that as a middle name. They were all within my age bracket. We were all named Francis, and we were named after St. Francis of Assisi. You know, so when I heard that, I was like, oh, hey, that's cool. I like that now. But there was a great quote I love by him, and it's in reference to sharing our faith. And he said at one point, share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So true. Our life is the greatest testimony that we have. And when we persevere, we give credit to the word of God. And what does that do? It gives God glory, and it causes this world to have to pay attention to the changes that take place and the things that we deal with that they look at and they marvel. So that's why it's important. So as we move on in verse 7, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand will save me. So he says, so even though he's going through a sorrowful time, he knows that he's not being overlooked or forgotten. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. The word trouble here speaks of adversity, of anguish, of distress, of tribulation. You know, God tells us, you know what, don't worry, in this world, you will have tribulation. John 16:33. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That was one of my favorite verses. Why? It's reality. When you start going through problems, you go, I'm having problems. And Jesus said, yeah, remember what I said to the apostles? Is, don't worry, you will have problems in this world, but be of good cheer because I have overcome this world. Trouble means adversity, anguish, distress, tribulation. Those are problems. That's not a happy day. He says, despite going through this and being in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You know, that word revive reminds me of, you ever watch, and this is not something the young people can look at me and go, what? But you remember the Saturday Westerns? Right? Remember on Saturdays, you used to have the Westerns on all the time, and the guys, they'd be black and white back then, but they would ride through, and the guys would be on horses, and they would come across somebody that's been in the desert, and he's crawling on the ground. Oh, water! Water! And they would get off the horse, and they'd come up with the canteen, they'd pick his head up, and they'd pour water into him, you know, and the guys, and they would be revived. It's like, oh, thank God you guys came along. That's what that word revive reminds me of. Because sometimes we're walking through life like that. Oh, Lord, help! And he comes along with his spirit, and he revives us. He gives us the water of his word. He pours his spirit's life into us, and he just invigorates us. Gives us the ability to stand up and get going again. To get that dust back off. Say, yeah, I was down, but God picked me back up. I'm going to keep going. And you persevere. That's what he says here. He says, though I was in the middle of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. You know, in reference here to stretching forth his hand, it speaks of God's power. But whenever it mentions the right hand, and sorry to all those who may be left-handed, but the right hand means the hand of power, of might, real strength. I'm right-handed, this is my strong arm, okay? And that's when it says that God's going to do something with his right hand. That means God's putting his all into this. And when God puts his all into something, he gets it done. Because God doesn't do anything halfway anyway. He does it all the way. We should expect from God, when we consider what he has said in his word, because he's going to act according to his word. He's going to act based on what he says here. And that's why the word of God was given to us, so that we would know what to expect. He says, you know what? I will deliver you. You're in trouble? I'm going to sustain you. You need to be brought up? I'm going to revive you. You need wisdom? I'm going to guide you. That's what we need to expect. Why? Because that's what God says. He can deal with whatever enemies or challenges that are in our lives. He can give us the strength to persevere. So in verse 8, go along, it says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And when it speaks of concerns, it means that he's going to bring about anything that concerns us from his perspective. He says, look, this is concerning you. I'm going to deal with this, okay? I'm going to take care of this. You know, I think sometimes we feel that we're actually in this alone. You ever get that feeling? I mean, you can be in a crowd sometime and feel like you're by yourself. But you ever feel like in your Christian life, you're in this by yourself? You should never feel that way. You have the Trinity inside of you. How much better does it get than to have God with you no matter where you go? How much better does it get to have the Creator of heaven and earth look down and say, you're my child, my child? Everybody better watch out. It doesn't get any better than that. So if we need strength, we need to wait upon God. We need to go to him and realize that he can deliver. So In closing, just a verse too I want to share with you. For instance, in Psalm 25:5, it gives you a reference to waiting on God. It says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day." We need to wait. We need to persevere and realize that God will come through. That's going to take waiting. So in summary, when we go to God, when we're dealing with struggles, we need to make sure that we worship him despite the circumstances we may be going through. Make sure that we focus on giving him praise, paying attention to his word, bowing down before him. We also need to pray no matter what our troubles may be, realizing that he is the one that will come through for us. He has the ability and the strength to do what he says he will do. And then finally, we need to expect deliverance because of who he is, not because of what we've done, who we are. You know, in ourselves, there's nothing good except for what God has placed inside of us. And what he has placed inside of us makes us worthy to stand before him. He's made us righteous and holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we should never shrink in fear, but we should stand bold and realize that God has made us his creation, his children, and he loves us. He cares for us, and he can give us the ability to persevere no matter what, the trial, the struggle, or the challenge. Amen? Amen. Amen.